Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 55. Etavam eke eva lokesmin Pungsak swaratak parak smritaha Ekanta bhaktir govinde Yat sarvatra tat ikshanam Etavam eva lokesmin Pungsak swaratak parak Smritaha Ekanta Bhaktir Govinde Yat Sarvatra Yat Tat Ikshanam. Etavan, this much, Eva, certainly, Loke Asmin, in this material world. Pungsa, of the living entity. Svarta, the real self-interest. Para, transcendental. Smritaha, regarded. Ekanta bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. Govinde, to Govinda. Yat, which. Sarvatra, everywhere. Tat ikshanam, seeing the relationship with Govinda, Krishna. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. Purport. In this verse, the word sarvatra tad ikshanam describes the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. A highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Sarvara jangama deki nadeke taramorti sarvatra haya nija ishta devas puruti. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8. 274. Even in this material world, the devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda. Govindam Adi Purusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe, even in every atomic particle. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. It is therefore said, Narayanam ayam dira pashanti paramartina. Jagat danamayam lubda kamuka kamini mayam. A devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayan. Narayanam ayam. Everything is an expansion of Narayan's energy. Just as those who are greedy see everything as the source of money-making, and those who are lusty see everything as being conducive to sex. The most perfect devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, saw Narayan even within a stone column. This does not mean, however, that we must accept the words Daridra Narayan, which have been manufactured by some unscrupulous person. One who actually envisions Narayan everywhere makes no distinction between the poor and the rich. To single out the Daridra Narayans, or poor Narayan, and reject it, Daini Narayan, or rich Narayan, is not the vision of a devotee. Rather, that is the imperfect vision of materialistic persons. Etavam eva lokesmin pumsak swartak parak smritaha ekanta bhaktir govinde tyaksarvatra tat ikshanam. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. Maum Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Smaranta Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvise Sakshun Nivari Paskatya Te Sudharana. This is the training of Krishna consciousness, how to always associate with Krishna 24 hours a day. So that training goes on through the process of devotional service. The opposite of devotional service is sense gratification, as Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsam Sangas Te Shupajayate Sangas Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodo Vijayate. That in the material world, we've been trained, not just trained, but we have that tendency to see the material world as an object for our sense gratification. So, as soon as one sees the material world as an object of sense gratification, then he's in meditation. Dhyayato. Dhyayato means he's meditating. Vishayan, on the objects of sense gratification. And at once, one becomes captured by the illusory energy. For instance, if you go to a grocery store and you steal something, then the guard may capture you. So in this material world, simply by the thought, even a thought is illegal. Everything belongs to Krishna. And just by thinking of stealing something, at once one is arrested by the illusory energy. And the illusory energy eventually takes one's intelligence away. One is penalized. Some intelligence is taken away. And the result is that as our intelligence decreases, we have different types of conceptions of life. Real intelligence, real buddhi, is to see everything in relationship to Krishna, that there is nothing but Krishna. But when we are captured by the illusory energy, then we begin to imagine that these objects that we see, they don't have a relationship with Krishna. We don't see how, as it says, just like the fire is spreading his heat and light everywhere. So, in the same way, Krishna, although he's in one place, he's diffusing all his energies everywhere. And all his energies are working under him. But one who has another conception, Vayam Dvitiya Vinesha Taksyat, that is that one who has this dual conception that I am one person and Krishna is a different person and I have one interest and Krishna has a different interest, then Vayam Dvitiya Vinesha Taksyat, then at once he becomes captured by duality. Ishad Abhitesya Vipario Smriti. And his real memory, his real understanding of things is lost. Therefore, in the beginning of devotional service, we're trained, or as Krishna explains in Karma Yoga, Jagnatat Karmano Nyatra Loko Yam Kamram Bandana, that we do not have a choice. It is not that if we want to become the lords of material nature, we can become so. And if we want to become Krishna's servant, we can become so. That nowadays, people are very liberal. Everyone can vote, see what they want to do. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. That one cannot vote, one cannot, by his desire, change the laws of nature. He can desire how he wants to situate himself according to the laws of nature, either as a captured prisoner by Maya or as a liberated servitor in the spiritual world. That he has a choice. But as soon as he makes his choice, then either he becomes liberated or he becomes captured. Therefore, from the beginning, one has to become dutiful. That this energy that Krishna has given me, whether it be my body, or whether it be my house, or whether it be my family, this energy that Krishna has given me, I must engage it according to Krishna's directions, how Krishna wants. This is called duty, or dharma. This is called karma, to do one's duty. And as soon as I decide, or whimsically, I decide, it doesn't really matter what I do, I just want to do what I feel like doing. The real thing is to bring out your feelings. You have to find that this is called, in modern ISKCON, it's called psychology, or counseling or psychology. We really want to find out what I feel like doing. Unfortunately, the material nature doesn't care anything what you feel like doing. You may find out what you want to do, what you feel like doing, but if Krishna doesn't want you to do that, and if the material energy says it's illegal, then it doesn't matter how much you want to do it, then you get penalized. You may try, as it says, Natevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu. People don't know that the actual goal of life is to satisfy Krishna. Therefore, Dharashaya, Ye Bahya Artha Manina. Therefore, they take as something important, something completely external. These external things are not important. What is important is the fact that they belong to Krishna. That much we have to see by practical experience. That as soon as one denies that, then at once he gets burnt. That burning means he's captured by, principally by lusty desires, angry desires, bewildered desires. He becomes captured. He becomes unhappy. He becomes morose. He suffers. Of course, nowadays, if you suffer, it's considered very noble that somehow or another, in spite of the cruel God that's inflicting punishment, one is going on suffering, nobly trying to enjoy his senses in the material world, supporting the economy by consuming so many different types of sense objects. So this is considered noble, the person, just like they have one type of philosophy called existentialism, that the material world is miserable, everything's terrible, even if there is a God, he's arranged everything wrong. So the only noble thing to do is to kill yourself as an act of protest against God's unfair laws. So this is all products of crazy mentality, being captured by the illusory energy. Therefore, one has to find out what is actually to be done according to Krishna and what is not to be done. Just like the law is here in this country, you're supposed to drive to the right, I believe. But if you decide, who cares for the law? Who cares for these people? Let's do something unique, creative, and drive to the left. Show our individuality, my real feelings. This is what I want to do. Unfortunately, no one will accept it, and the police will come and arrest you. And how noble your feeling is, and how much you want to express it, that's not what you're supposed to do. Therefore, you'll be under the laws of nature, under the laws of the government. You'll be chastised. Similarly, one must understand things properly. That is called duty or dharma, and that is the beginning of human life. This is called vanashrama vicharavitaha purushena parakpuman vishnu aradite panta. Now, that is human life. But to speak of devotional service, that is sanity. Not that by my puny desire by my puny intelligence, I'm going to conquer the laws of nature. I'm going to change everything around. Just like Ravana, he thought, let me change everything around. Let us build a staircase to heaven, and all sinful, rotten people, they can go to heaven by the staircase. And if anyone's pious and following the laws of God, then we'll kick him down from heaven to hell. So he had his plan. Unfortunately, fortunately, depending upon which side you're on, he lost. He wound up with it, you know, his head's cut off, all 10 of them, a few times, and he wound up with a pain in his chest, a heart attack due to Ramachandra's arrow. So, in spite of the fact he was so powerful, he could not change the laws of nature. What to speak of the puny scientists nowadays, by adding some, you know, chemical in one little test tube, they think they're going to change the laws of nature. Or by shooting a little particle here and there, they think they're going to change the laws of nature. Actually, they don't change anything. They simply try to get money, that's all. They just try and change their bank account. That's the only thing that changes. And people in general, they're poorer, and the scientists are richer. That's the only thing. But no laws change. No, they don't even know what the laws are. They're simply bewildered. That's the beginning. That's called karma yoga. There is laws of nature, and we must follow them. And then the next thing is that there's a reality beyond the material world. It is not that the whole spectacle that's going on is the material world, and everyone should tune in to channel Maya and simply figure out what's going on around here, that, you know, we have to find out all the different species of life and how they're working and find out all the details of Maya. This is called agyan, or ignorance, ultimately. That real gyan is that there's a spiritual world, there's spiritual life, there's a whole different realm beyond this gross and subtle mundane realms. And that requires hearing. There's no other way of understanding what that realm is, but it's conveyed through the process of decisive succession through hearing. And so therefore one must learn how to hear submissively. Not only do we have to obey the laws of nature, the whole purpose of life is not simply not to get arrested, not to get thrown into jail and chastised. You're supposed to, there's another life, a life of freedom, where you're supposed to build, for instance, in the society, a career, so to speak, and have your proper life. So there's a spiritual life, and by the process of hearing, one can develop that spiritual life. But beyond that is to come to the platform of loving the Supreme Spiritual Person. Surrender to the Supreme Spiritual Person and give one's love fully to Him. That is called devotional service. So here it says, by the process of devotional service, one can understand automatically how everyone is related to Krishna. That there's nothing apart from Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna's energy. And therefore, I am also supposed to love Krishna and serve Krishna. This is considered the perfection of life. So that is automatically achieved by accepting the process of devotional service. Of course, we have to hear continuously that we're not the lords of the material energy, that we're not here to become the enjoyers. We're not here to become the controllers of the material nature. We're here to find out what Krishna wants us to do at every moment, to do that, and to do that lovingly to please Krishna, not out of frustration, the fact that I have to do it because I don't want to be chastised, not to do it out of ignorance because someone told me to do it and I got to do it because the head guy told me to do it, and I got to do it. No, to do it lovingly, understanding how Krishna is the supreme friend of everyone, how by loving Krishna one gets the highest satisfaction, the highest occupation is to love Krishna and serve Him. To do it willingly, voluntarily, in full consciousness, and lovingly. Then one will automatically understand everything. Krishna will give one intelligence by which he can see Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. One can see Krishna everywhere. But one should also be mindful of the indirect process, because we have that tendency to justify what we're doing, not to change what we're doing. In other words, we do something and then we try and figure out how to justify it afterwards. We try to make in our own minds everything we're doing divine, although it may not be divine. Therefore, one has to understand the indirect process also, so we won't become caught up in justifying what we're doing, which may have nothing to do with reality, or at least Krishna consciousness reality. But the most important thing is somehow to accept the fact that we're Krishna's servant, and if one does that, then everything will automatically be understood. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. In other words, we should understand what duty means. We may talk about how everyone should love Krishna and how we should serve Krishna. But the real fact is that a lot of times we're not really even conscious of Krishna. And even if we are trying to become conscious of Krishna, the feeling is not very intense. Therefore, usually our debate is whether to perform something sinful, something frivolous, something whimsical, or to do what I'm supposed to do. And there may be so much philosophy that we invent to justify, you know, that if people don't do what they feel like doing, they become repressed, and that leads to dangerous things. Repressed feelings lead to war and all kinds of crimes. Therefore, you can't repress your feelings. You have to do you have to find out what you really want to do, which all boils down to the conditioned soul. He really examines his heart and tries to figure out what he wants to do. He wants to eat meat, have sex, take intoxication, and gamble, waste his time like that. So if he really wants to search his heart and find out what material desires he has, he'll find out he has a lot more material desires that he bargained for. And therefore, rather than do that, we have to understand very clearly that we have to be dutiful, that there are laws of nature. They do work. Ultimately, Krishna is behind them, but they work very stringently, and unless we follow them, we become chastised. We have to suffer the reaction. Therefore, to a certain extent, we have to understand how the material nature is working. But that's not our goal in life, is simply to figure out how the material nature is working so we can avoid punishment. But in the immature stage in the beginning, these things we have to understand. Otherwise, the tendency will be to act frivolously. As Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said, Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalaya. Although we can see at every moment so many living entities, starva ichanti, so many living entities are going into the jaws of death, everyone is foolishly thinking, I'm going to live here forever. So we don't see things properly. Therefore, in the beginning, we have to get that vision, how things are actually going on. That's indirect, because ultimately, as one progresses, these things aren't so important. As he becomes more concerned with the spiritual world and spiritual consciousness, he doesn't have to worry so much about what the laws of nature are, as to speak of when he's fully absorbed in love for Krishna, love of Krishna. Then these things don't concern him at all, how the material nature is working. He never does anything sinful. But we're not at that stage. Therefore, at the beginning, we do have to concern ourselves with these things. No, it's not exactly as direct, because we don't. In one sense, it's direct, if we do things dutifully. But in another sense, it's not that we're simply doing it lovingly to serve Krishna. We're doing it because we know it's the right thing to do, dutifully. In that sense, it's indirect. Just like someone may be a soldier in the state and serve the king. He does it, he doesn't know the king, but he knows that that's his duty. for someone else, maybe a friend of the king, and he works on behalf of the king because he likes the king. That's why he does it. So they're both maybe doing the same thing, but the consciousness is different. The understanding is different. Anything else? Yes.
Can you look at the period where the whole society is going to punishment?
Most of it is. The devotees aren't being punished.
How can they be free from the determination of this society?
Well, just like if it's raining outside. Well, we can't stop the rain, but at least we can take an umbrella so we don't get wet. So whatever the society means, individual people doing their collective individual things. But at least if we take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in this age, well, whatever society is going to do, that society, we have our own society. And that society is under the protection of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Therefore, although people who are engaged not be inflicted by so many miseries coming from threefold modes, still, if we take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll be protected. Just like Maya says, take intoxication, have illicit sex, and people wind up with AIDS. But if we take shelter of Krishna and serve him, then the result is we won't be forced to do these activities. People are being forced to do them. We won't be forced to do them. We'll dance and chant and remember Krishna and be in the spiritual world. Yes. Help. God helps those who help themselves. Yes, if you yourself, you're a Krishna's servant. So to help yourself, you have to take shelter of Krishna. There's no other help. Krishna is just like if you're in a pit of snakes and someone throws a rope, then you have to take hold of the rope and get pulled out. That much you have to do, is be willing to grab hold of the rope so someone can pull you out. That's how you help yourself. So Krishna is giving us the rope, devotional service. We have to grab hold of it, hold on to it, and then Krishna and the spiritual master will drag us out. But if we think this is too boring, grabbing hold of ropes, it's not exciting, it's not noble, I'm going to do it myself. Good luck. Helping yourself means to take shelter of the spiritual master and Krishna, and then they'll drag you out. Anything else? Yes.
Just recently, I had one question from someone who was happy. He asked this question of the oldest concern about how did it fall down. So then he said that because at some point the answer was not there, therefore he gave the answer to the prayer from the complete faith.
You don't have complete faith. You don't have to, no one has to have complete faith. You think it's such an important thing, then unless I understand, just like if you're in the middle of the ocean, Prabhupada used to say, and you're drowning, the first question that comes to your mind is, now how did I get here? And someone says, gives you a philosophical explanation, and you say, well, I'm not satisfied with that. Can you explain more? Now the same person will get out of the ocean. If you think, well, I'm not going to get out until someone explains to me how I got here. Unless you can give me a good answer how I got here, I'm not leaving the ocean. Well, good, drown. What can we tell you? You can be a good example of someone, of a foolish person who drowned for no reason. What makes anyone think they have the capacity to understand how they got here? People think that everything has to be explained to them. First of all, you have to have the capacity to understand. So obviously the acharyas they had their reasons for explaining things in different ways. Because they knew that people in general, Prabhupada emphasized, don't worry so much how you got here. Mainly because it wouldn't help us to understand. Nor do most people, nor possibly have the capacity to understand. Well, he made it clear that if we really get, he said, back home, back to Godhead. That means that somehow or another we were with Krishna previously. How we were with Krishna, what we were doing exactly, those details he didn't give us. But he made it clear he didn't want to give it to us because it wouldn't help us. And the more we get into these subjects in defiance of what Prabhupada advises us not to do, the more we'll simply become bewildered. So we say it's not important, and if someone else says it's important, well, good luck. Let him figure it out. And if he says, well, I'm not going to go back to Godhead because they're not giving me the reason why I fell here, well, good, stay here. Krishna's so kind, he can stay here forever if you want to. Plenty of room here. Yeah.
Including the laws of nature, three steps of life, Kamchari, PST, and Sannyasi, is it recommended to renounce totally the life of PST?
Well, there's four stages. There's Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Is there advice? Well, it depends who you are, how old you are. If you're 20 years old, you just got married, you don't just suggest that you immediately take sannyas.
Someone renounced totally his life, the step of grihastha.
Is it possible for someone to do that? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it. What is your question? Is it possible for anyone?
To renounce totally the step of grihastha.
Yes, it's possible to be Naishtika Brahmachari. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was a Naishtika Brahmachari. He never got married. It's possible, but it's not so common. Most persons, it's advised to take Grihastha life sometime. But it's possible, depends upon one's consciousness, one's level of realization, or artificially, but by higher consciousness. Anything else? So we'll stop there. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.